Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. Thanks for listening. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley. Jordal joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, Brother Tim and Ed.
Yes.
And Brent. And all of y'all out there in Radio Land.
All y'all.
All y'all in Radio Land. All right. What'd you do this weekend, Steve? Anything?
My wife and I drove up to Nashville to see my dad. We didn't get to see him on Father's Day, so we brought him a gift and spent some time with my father.
Lives in Nashville? Or?
He moved to Nashville. He left California. My sister and brother-in-law left California, and he has an apartment built onto their house. I had one in California, and they have one now.
There was a story I was reading last night about how Nashvillians, and I would include that in the surrounding area. Gallatin was this story, was focused on how all these people from California are moving in to the Nashville area,
right?
And people there want to be welcome. Natives want to be welcoming,
yeah,
but they don't want a bunch of liberal politics,
right?
And it's also driving up the housing market like crazy,
and probably making the traffic can get pretty thick in Nashville.
Do you see this?
My family up there lives in Brentwood, Tennessee, which is just south of Nashville. It's also by Franklin and everything. And it's one of those. It's interesting. You drive down the road to get to his house, and you see these massive mansions built like within 3 feet of each other. They're just like row after, you know, like mansions.
Yeah.
They're going for millions. Just the most gorgeous, huge houses, but no property. Just like
Are you thinking about? Are you thinking about buying one?
I'm not. It's a long commute, 4 hours each way. So
yeah, you probably need to get a big pay raise too.
Well, if you want to give me a big pay raise, I need quite the pay raise in order. I didn't even think, you know what, if I got that much of a pay raise, right? There are some missions I would like to support rather than a big huge house like that. Just saying.
You see, Steve went all spiritual on us.
He did.
That's good.
There's no throwing a trump card on that. On that play,
no.
If you're playing hearts or whatever.
Well,
also, he's more likely to give me a raise if he thinks that I'm going to give it to missions. Just you throwing that out there.
You think so, Steve?
I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
You go ahead and think that.
All right. So we were talking about the Trump-Biden debate coming up Thursday night in Atlanta at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
So 8 p.m.
Must-see TV.
Well, we were talking before the break about that. Trump doesn't sleep, and Biden has to go to bed at 8. I mean, they call a quote lid on the White House at noon almost every day, meaning no more events, no more speaking for the president. But on policy, the other day President Trump said something. And I'm not sure what to think about it exactly. It was a very interesting comment. I say interesting, thought-provoking. Comments he made reacting to a reporter who was interviewing him. I've forgotten the name of the gentleman.
This was a podcast. It was the All In podcast. It was Business Roundtable, basically.
Okay, Business Roundtable. Anyway, here's the Q&A, and then I want to come back and talk about what President Trump is suggesting. Go ahead.
We need high-skilled workers in this country.
Yes.
We need to recruit the best and brightest from the world. Every time we get somebody super intelligent from India or Europe, any country, that's
one less.
Three
of us are immigrants, sir.
Yeah, and three of the four here are immigrants, the ones without the ties. And we can get these great people into our country, and that's a loss for our adversaries and our competitors, and it's a gain for us. But I've never heard you talk about this. Can you please promise us you will give us more ability to import the best and brightest around the world to America?
I do promise, but I happen to agree. That's why I promise. Otherwise, I wouldn't promise. Let me just tell you that it's so sad when we lose people from Harvard, MIT, from the greatest schools and lesser schools that are phenomenal schools also. And what I wanted to do, and I would have done this, but then we had to solve the COVID problem because that came in and, you know, sort of dominated for a little while, as you perhaps know. But what I want to do and what I will do is you graduate from a college. I think you should get automatically as part of your diploma a green card to be able to stay in this country. And that includes junior colleges, too. Anybody graduates from a college, you go in there for 2 years or 4 years. If you graduate or you get a doctorate degree from a college, you should be able to stay in this country. And you know more stories than I do, but I know of stories where people graduated from a top college or from a college, and they desperately wanted to stay here. They had a plan for a company, a concept, and they can't. They go back to India. They go back to China. They do the same basic company in those places, and they become multi-billionaires employing thousands and thousands of people, and it could have been done here. And a bigger example is you need a pool of people to work for your companies. You have great companies, and they have to be smart people. Not everybody can be less than smart. You need brilliant people. And we force the brilliant people, the people that graduate from college, the people that are number one in their class from the best colleges, you have to be able to recruit these people and keep the people. It was such a big deal. Somebody graduates at the top of the class. They can't even make a deal with the company because they don't think they're going to be able to stay in the country. That is going to end on day one.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think we all
stop that. So that's President Trump saying on day one, of his administration, he's going to, I don't know if he can do this unilaterally, and I don't know what to think about it. That is issuing green cards to anybody who can graduate from a junior college or above.
I think he was just kind of spitballing there in terms of junior colleges.
He said 2 year schools.
Yeah. In my opinion, now I don't know a lot of the in the weeds things about this. In my opinion, this is what immigration policy should focus on. Okay. And that is people who can help our country. Okay. And if these are smart people, I see no problem with letting them stay legally. And that's what a green card would do, would extend them for a certain amount of time. And maybe
what are smart people though? How do you distinguish?
The STEM fields, when you're talking about science and technology and engineering and mathematics, these are the fields in which the future will be built. And so there's lots of talk about Americans being taught the STEM subjects and putting out more engineers, what have you. To me, when I say smart people, I say people who are in these fields that will drive our technology, engineering, all those kinds of things in the next 25, 50 years, those are people, if they seem to excel and do well in college in those fields, we ought to get them to stick around. So that's what I mean. But the thing is, it should be public policy that directs our immigration procedures and not this throw open the door at the border. Everyone comes who wants to come, because sometimes you get low-skilled workers who come in or no-skilled workers who then go on welfare and are a drain on the public treasury. So to me, that's the way immigration policy should work, and we seem to have it backwards.
This quote tells me a couple things. I think we kind of lose the fact in the liberal rhetoric that Trump is not anti-immigrant. He's anti-illegal immigrant.
Yes.
He's anti-immigration from countries where we cannot vet the safety of
Bingo.
The people that are coming across, hence what the popularly was called the Muslim ban, which was nothing of the sort.
Right.
But on the other hand, the tweet that you sent around was from a gentleman who thinks it's a good idea, but has a whole bunch of reasons why it might not work. This is one of the reasons it might not work. There are 800,000 international students that graduate annually from U.S. colleges. With more than 1 million dependents, that's 7 times the employment-based green cards. So now you're flooding the market with green cards. One of the things that they say is it's going to take away American jobs from people who are qualified. But you just that's a lot of green cards for not that many.
Well, where I think the president was wrong, President Trump, was in promising that if you are here from another country and you graduate from college, you automatically get it. I don't think
it means you get a job, but you have the right to work. But
no, what he's talking about here, and I don't know if it's a good idea or not. I don't know. He's saying, Trump is saying he's in favor of you. If you can come here and graduate from a junior college, a two-year school, you get to stay in America.
Yeah, that's a blanket policy. I don't think that that's
what's
not
the difference between that and Dreamers.
Well, okay, you want to go down this road?
I'm just asking.
Dreamers are people. This is the way I understand it. Dreamers are people that are children of people who came here illegally.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So that was, now remember President Trump offered to give them amnesty.
Yep.
In return for a funding for a border wall.
Right.
But the Democrats didn't go for that. Remember that?
Yes.
But Trump was willing to give Dreamers amnesty for, this is a, people, Are you asking for my
opinion? I see the technical difference.
You asking for my opinion?
I see the technical difference, I think, but...
That's not just technical. That's a pretty big difference.
They're not here illegally. What they say the result of the Dreamer program is these kids who have been here their whole life and they are going to school, they deserve to be able to stay. This says if you're here... I don't know if this might apply to someone who's here illegally and graduates from a college... I don't know, but that you should be able to stay. I see some similarities, and I know there are differences.
First of all, I think I disagree with President Trump or President Biden. I disagree with any president who tries to do this unilaterally.
Another thing that
the immigration problem that we have in this country should not be solved by the executive branch. It should be solved by Congress after a bipartisan deliberation where we set out our immigration policy. It should include the enforcement of our borders. Nobody should be, or very few people should be able to sneak into our country. We should know who's in our country. We should set the limits on and the criteria for which under which people come to this country. There may be a certain number of people who come here because of asylum. A certain number we bring in because they are living in poor countries. There should be a certain number that we can absorb who are people in the STEM fields who graduate from college. But that should be settled by Congress and not by a president on day one doing anything. That's my opinion.
Let me just add this to the discussion. According to Fox News, an article that came out yesterday, they say former President Trump's campaign walked back the promise that the former president would automatically award green cards to migrants after they graduate from college. Quote, President Trump has made it clear that on day one of his new administration, he's going to shut down the border and launch the largest mass deportation effort of illegal aliens in history.
Yeah. What does that have to do with the...
They're redirecting. They're walking it back and redirecting. Huh?
Why would you do that?
Because I don't think that the campaign...
agrees with the president?
I don't know. The campaign doesn't think he can do it. I don't think the campaign thinks that he could pull this off.
In other words, that he has the authority.
Why didn't he walk it back?
Once he walked anything back.
I don't understand that.
I'm just reading.
I know, but I don't understand that. Now, KJP can do it. She just wants to make it clear.
The campaign is clarifying.
Clarifying.
Right.
Anyway, next story, Steve.
All right. There's an interesting, we keep seeing polls out, and just saw a national poll where Donald Trump is actually doing really well, up 10 points in general. But you sent around an article, Tim, about Hispanic voters and that they're backing President Trump. And the reason that they're backing President Trump, and I can corroborate this from discussions I've had with some Hispanic leaders, namely Sammy Rodriguez of the National Coalition of Hispanic Leaders, who say that those that come here legally don't necessarily think it's a good idea for open borders.
Do you have the article?
I do.
Yeah, read the first couple paragraphs.
Hispanic voters in seven key battleground states for the 2024 election trust Donald Trump to handle immigration more than President Joe Biden, while 38% of Hispanic voters in these swing states trust Biden to handle immigration, 41% say the same voting bloc trust Trump more. And then the third paragraph, 16% of voters in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, Pennsylvania and Wisconsin remain undecided, according to the poll by X.
So what I found interesting was that among Hispanic voters, more of them trusted Trump than trusted Biden on how to deal with illegal immigration, right?
Right.
And that's not the stereotype, so to speak, if that's the right word, that we get from the liberal, quote, mainstream media, which would suggest that all Hispanics are against Republicans and Trump because of racism charges. Because if you're for law and order at the border, you by necessity don't like brown people, right?
That's the accusation.
That's the accusation. Yeah. It's unfair. And what I think, but that's what the left tries to throw at you. And what this does is defies that stereotype and says, no, wait a minute. Guess what? Hispanic Americans are just as concerned about illegal immigration as whites or blacks or Asians or anybody else. And they favor Trump over Biden in terms of how to deal with this. Did you not find that a little bit?
I was surprised. I would not have been surprised if it had been a significant chunk of the Hispanic population, like 25 or 30%. But the fact that a plurality, 41 over 38, trust Trump over Biden is surprising. But, you know, listen, like we're saying, all Hispanics are not the same. You know, I mean, to say the
Hispanic... It's not monolithic.
Yes, the Hispanic population in America. Well, you know what? That includes Cubans. It includes Salvadorans, Venezuelans, Chileans.
A lot of people here who are multi-generational.
Yes.
Americans, they're three generations removed from their parents immigrating here.
Yes.
They're Americans who happen to be Hispanic.
Yes.
Sammy Rodriguez told me something that I keep going back to.
Is he Irish?
He is not.
Rodriguez. Oh, that's okay. My bad. Okay.
Anyway,
I thought you said Mac Rodriguez.
Samuel. Reverend Samuel Rodriguez.
It's a bad joke. It flopped, yes. And I take full responsibility. Go ahead.
What he said is that the Hispanic community had been Republican almost from the minute that they got here. They just don't know it yet.
Yes.
Because they are completely conservative when it comes to social issues. They like marriage. They're grounded in church.
Yeah.
They are law and order. So they
were hardworking,
yeah,
entrepreneurial. Oftentimes they want to start businesses and succeed. And that's usually a Republican thing.
And that's probably what Donald Trump is plugging into. I mean, they have voted Democrat for a long time out of habit.
Well, I think the quote Hispanic vote has been, it's like 65-35. I'm just drawing numbers here, favor of Democrats, 60-40 maybe, Democrat, probably, and that'll probably stay about the same across the board nationally, 60-40. Again, as you say, it's hard to say here because Hispanics are, that's a big group of people. The Hispanics are the number one minority in America in terms of numbers, and so they don't vote monolithic, but they do. They do vote more for Democrats than they do for Republicans as a whole. And I want to say it's like 60-40, something like that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. Let's listen to there's a guy that's running for governor in North Carolina who's now the lieutenant governor. His name is Mark Robinson. And he has got some of the left freaking out a little bit. There's screaming Christian nationalism. I want you to listen to this guy. This is Mark Robinson speaking to the Faith and Freedom Coalition meeting. I think it was in his state. And what he said is going to sound to those of you who are listening to this program a lot like what a lot of Christians might say, but it's being taken as Christian nationalism by those that maybe aren't so familiar. And so listen to Cut 9.
It's the mainstream media here. If you're here, I want you to hear this. Hear me. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you do in your newsroom. I don't care about your plans and your schemes to bring this nation down with your Democratic friends. Why? Because Jesus Christ is still on the throne. You may have your news cameras and your satellites and your 24-hour news, but Jesus Christ holds the world in his hands, and he holds me in it as well. And what he has for me, you cannot keep from coming true. It may not be the governor's mansion. It may not be any political seat, but you will not stop Jesus Christ's will in my life. So I do not fear you. Write your stories, tell your lies, tell your half-truths. But Christ is still on the throne. And because he lives in my heart and I live for him, I know whatever I need to do on this earth for him, it will get done.
You have just heard what the left loves to describe as Christian nationalists, because they don't like people bringing their faith into the public square.
I would think that the left, and we're speaking broadly here, but it would include the news media, they can't stand anybody with that kind of serious conviction on anything that's not a leftist, quote unquote, progressive issue. If you're pro-abortion, they will love that kind of passion. But if you are a Christian or a conservative on conservative social issue X, Y, or Z, they despise that kind of passion. And the fact that they are so hostile towards God and Jesus Christ, to me, is the only explanation for trying to turn what most Christians hear in a church every Sunday, okay, turn that into something nefarious, like what they call Christian nationalism,
right?
Which they think that's sinister.
Yeah,
that's the bizarro left.
Pretty mainstream stuff, I would think, right?
Yeah. And listen, that was good preaching.
Yeah.
So good on, who was this again?
That was Mark Robinson, who's the lieutenant governor in North Carolina and running for governor.
Yeah. All right. What else we got?
We got about a minute, so I thought I'd peruse some of the breaking news of the day as brought to us by our favorite news site.
The Babylon Bee?
Yes.
Satirical.
Yes, satirical. And this is the headline. The AP is saying that illegal immigrant crime has reduced to zero since they stopped calling them illegal immigrants.
They run those kind of things in terms of lowering crime of any kind. Murders have dropped. Assaults have dropped in New York City by making assault legal.
Right?
Yeah.
We got 20 seconds. Catholics and Protestants cannot wait until the left is defeated so they can get back to fighting with each other.
I saw that. I saw that over the weekend. We have been lots of different Christian denominations have been drawing closer together in our alarm at what is happening to our culture and the political scene on social issues. So,
sad news over Disney, too. They fired Walt Disney because he's too white.
Posthumously fired.
Yes, right.
For being a white male.
Yes.
How about this one? Keep religion out of our schools, says teacher with BLM and pride flags in the classroom.
Like that's not religion.
Yeah.
That's a secular religion, so to speak. All right, we're out of time. It's probably a good thing that we're out of time today. Thank you, Ed.
Yes, sir.
Steve. Thanks to Chris Woodward, Brent Quealy, our producer. Thank you for listening. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.